Come on today. So good to see all of you and to be here. Those of you that are online watching, just so grateful for every single one of you. I echo everything that these two have just gotten up and shared with all of you today. I felt this, and I just want to sow these little thoughts into your mind before I share what I believe God wants you to hear this morning. But listen to this. Number one, make the choice every day to live with joy and not fear. You have to make that choice. You have to do it. You can make the choice to embrace the other, but you have to make a decision to live with joy every day. Number two, develop a high appreciation for life. Learn to enjoy what God has given to you right now. Don't get caught up in what you don't have. Thank you, Lord, for what we do have. Number three, find something positive in everything. There's something good you can extract out of even the most difficult moments in your life. Paul said to the Philippians in 4:8, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if there's anything excellent, anything worth of praiseworthiness, think on these things. And then learn to turn everything over to God. Some were carrying too much. You gotta let it go. Turn that anxiety over to Him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety. One translation says fear. Give it to Him. Quit trying to wrangle it on your own. He's got it all under control. Come on, can I hear an amen today in the house? I love it when Judah says amen like that to me. Is that Judah or Petra that says the amen? It's Judah. Look at her right on the front row. She's got her Bible open. She's the best amener. Some of you could take some lessons from her this morning. I want to say, I know my son Benjamin, the family is a little under the weather today. I know he's watching. Tomorrow is his birthday. If you have any way to send out a birthday greeting to him, it's not only his birthday, it's been my oldest son's 40th birthday tomorrow. Can we just say, Benny, we love you. Happy birthday to you. No, I've just got a confession to make that when Ben was born, his mother, she was very young. She was in trouble, and I rescued her from that. I'm joking. She's going to beat me down with a broomstick later. I'm just so grateful for all of my boys in our family, and I'm thankful for you as well. The Christmas Eve services will be great this year. This coming Thursday, Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock here at the City Church, 8 o'clock at St. Anthony's. It'll be less than an hour, and we'll have just an incredible time. I want to say again, thank you for all of you that have been giving. You've been faithful. And I just want to say in advance, those of you that will really make a commitment on our year-end offering, there's some things that we haven't done, we've put off, and it's just the time that we need to do it. So would you just come alongside of the work of the Lord and do what you can for that, and we'd be so grateful to you as well. I don't know who said it up here first. Maybe it was Sam. She said, it's great to see all of you here. I can't see everybody that's watching online. And I was sitting there thinking, wouldn't it be cool if we had a big screen right behind me up here? We had some way, all you tech guys, to bring in all, just Mo's covering. But wouldn't it be cool just to see just a group of people that are watching online behind me and they're all waving at us? Listen, if you're watching online today, take a picture of how you're watching and send it to us, okay? Just send it, put it online, however you're doing it. Just let's do that. We love you. We thank you so much. And I just want to sow this one last little thought into you. This is Christmas week, right? Did you all know that? Some of you? I said this is Christmas week, right? You want to send the best Christmas present? I want to ask you, every one of you, to reach out to 10 to 15 people this week. If it's just a text, an email, if you feel like and you got time to call. But if you would do that, and not just you know, to the people that you know, maybe to some that you haven't talked to in a while, maybe some that you haven't seen in a while. You, maybe it's some of those that you say, I know I should, I guess I should talk to them. I got to call them. I got to, you know, can you do that? Because here's the reality of it. For some, it may be the last Christmas they are on this side of heaven. This has been the last 2 weeks. We have just seen just an enormous amount of loss. And my heart breaks for those who have to deal with it at this time of year, really any time of year. But what I really want to tell each and every one of us is that, you know, people have always said, well, you can't take it with you. But let me tell you what you can sow ahead of you and you can take with you. That's what you do for the Lord here and now. You can do everything for yourself. But when you leave this earth and enter into your eternal destiny, you leave all that behind. But the people that you show love to, the people that you pray for, the people that you send some love ahead to them. When you give, is useless as it sounds, the people that are watching online now, you know, there's dark spots. When you make it available for people to hear the gospel, you sow that seed ahead. Because when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have a car waiting for me. I'm not going to have, you know, I don't know, I hope there's a beach in heaven, but I don't know. I'm not going to have stuff. I'm not going to have stuff. But what I am going to have is the people that heard the gospel and said yes to Jesus. And they're going to come and they're going to give me a hug. And they're going to give you a hug. And they're going to say thank you for telling me about the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you for this morning and our time together. Use it for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bible and you want to, open it up to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 26. Just read a few verses of Scripture, share something with you. Just, I'm only going to be a few moments this morning. I want to just say thank you to everybody that brought me some sugar love this morning in the form of cookies. I am in big trouble. You know, my wife, she hasn't made cookies at home for a long time now. And when she did, she'd hide them. And we'd find them. It'd be January 15, 20. I mean, we'd pull them out sometimes in February. They'd be almost walking on their own. We couldn't eat them things then. And so when you bring cookie love to us like this, and I say, honey, we can't hide these. People made these and gave them with their love. We have to participate in this. Come on, can I hear an amen this morning? You know, we're talking about food again. Aaron's talking about baked potatoes and all that. I just want to share this these verses of Scripture with you and just sow this thought, living highly favored. In Luke 1, verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I want to just sow four thoughts into you. Number one, believe you have favor. Because the Lord is with you. He's not only with you, he is living in you. Upon our salvation, when Christ has come to live in you in a mighty way, something transpires in our lives. We are ending a very difficult year in 2020 and beginning to enter in to a whole new season in 2021. And although many are hoping when the ball drops that all the old is gone, and we're just going to walk into this brand new life and living, it's probably not going to be that way right away. But God is with us, and he is in us. This is the Christmas message. And we have to remember the reasons that he has come and why he has come. And not everything is just for you and I to make our lives jolly and bright. Sometimes there's challenges. Sometimes there's difficulty. But I want you to remember today that he is with you and that he is in you. I found myself this week, I was driving down the road, and I've kind of come to love this particular music group called Maverick City. And I listened to the words. We've done a few of the songs. Actually, Malachi sang this song last week at St. Anthony's. Now, the name of the song is "You're a Man of Your Word." And as I listened to that, and I've listened to it so many times, it's been in my heart. You know how you get a song in your heart, and you just keep on thinking about it, and the words just keep on coming up over and over in your heart, which is why it's so important to make sure you have good things coming into your mind, because whatever comes in is what goes out. And I'm listening to these words, and the words are, "All things are possible when we believe. Old chains are breakable when we receive. Yahweh, you keep your promises. If you said it, we believe it, because you're a man of your word. We have this confidence you'll finish what you started. God, you have never failed. You won't start with me." Sometimes when we're going through things, we think, well, God, he's finally here to get me back. Can I just remind all of you today, God's not in the business of getting you back. He's in the business of lifting you up. He's in the business of ushering you into your purpose, into the plan he has for you. And if you go through a rough time, you go through a rough spot, some difficulty happens in your life, that's not God getting mad at you and just getting back at you. That's just life happening, but he is always there to help you, to strengthen you, to be the wind underneath your sails and to lift you to another level. He said, "You won't start with me. You're present in every step, patient in every heartache. You have never failed, and you won't start with me. If you said I'm healed, I'm healed." And some of you need to make this declaration out of your mouth. "God, I thank you that I am strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Lord, I thank you that with your stripes I am healed. Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against me will prosper." Instead of you listening to all the stuff around in life, you've got to remember what God said about you and what he wants to do with you. He said, "If you say I'm free in my mind, I am." And I found myself pulling my car over on the side of the road and just start saying the things that he says about me. And remembering how he has taught me, and clearing my thoughts, and clearing all the other voices that I have allowed to take a little root up in my life and try to describe me as being someone or something that I am not. And I sat there and I began to say, "God, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're strengthening me. I thank you that you're healing me. I thank you, Lord, that you're protecting me. I thank you, Lord, that you are with me, that you're helping me, that you're giving me hope and life and strength and peace. God, I thank you that if you're with me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper." And as I'm sitting there and I'm thinking of this, this is becoming so real to me, because you become so much like what you hear and what you take in. I went home and I just began to write some things down that just reminded us of who he is and who he has called me to be. That I am alive in Christ in Ephesians 2:5. That when we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, he made us alive together, not just on our own, but with Christ. For by grace we have been saved. I wrote down, "I am free from oppression, and I will not live in fear." Isaiah 54:14. "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression." And I just want to speak to every evil spirit that would try to bring depression and oppression over God's people in this season to be gone in the name of Jesus. By the word of the living God, you will be free from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. It will not. I wrote down, I'm born again, and the evil one can't touch me. 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one, he can't touch this. I'm going to get those t-shirts made right away. That Christ that is in me is greater than anything or anyone in the world. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I begin to write these down, that I have peace from God. Not just peace that the world can give. I have the real peace of God. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep his mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, fixated on you, because he trusts you. I wrote down, and I've said this all year long, I will experience no losses in my life. None. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't need the president. I don't need the government. I don't need the Treasury Department. I don't need all of what the people are trying to tell me. You got to wait for this and look to this. I'm looking to the author and the finisher of our faith for the joy that was set before us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, laid down his life so that I wouldn't have to live that way anymore. I could live freely in him, have what he has, say what he says, and be who he has called me to be. That is who I am. I'm not ruled by fear because the Holy Spirit lives in me and gives me his power, love, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give you and I a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I wrote down that Christ lives in me and I live by faith in him and his love for me. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's who God has called me to be. That's who he's called you to be. Not to live with all these other labels and not to live under this heavy load of fear, but to be free and to know you are who God says you are. And that's the Christmas message. I feel like dropping the mic again this morning. Guys, you got to get me an old mic that I can just break up if I want to drop it. You got to live for God. You got to know that he is with you. And then in Luke 1:29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. There's that word again, favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never live. And you and I have to know that when God delivers his will, it may overwhelm you. His purposes and his plans, when you hear it, they may overwhelm you. And can I say that all of the most victorious moments that you will ever experience in your life begin with the greatest uncertainty. Sometimes we become enamored by the unfamiliar, the news of change, the different, the unknown. But we have to forget that we are not in control and believe and know that he is in control. And I have just come to remind you today who this Jesus is at Christmas, that you don't have to be in control of everything. He is the one that can be in control of everything. Amen. Come on. Let's just give God a little praise right there. Number three, you got to focus on the what and let God show you the how. Luke 1:34, how will this be? Mary, I'd be asking questions too, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Each one of us will come to a place in our lives, many places in our lives, where you are not going to know all the details of how it's going to work out. You're not going to. And I know for some, That is like impossible. You got to know from A to Z. And I just want to remind you today that some of the greatest moments in your life are going to happen when you don't know what's on the other side of your challenge. You don't know what's on the other side of your pain. You don't know what's on the other side of that news that has just overwhelmed you. You don't know how to handle what's just come to your life. But can I tell you today that you have to believe in a God who is able to do beyond what you ever thought you could do and get you through what you never thought you could get through on your own power and in your own strength. I was just sitting here thinking when I still call them kids. Aaron's in her 40s. Ryan's 37 now. I still call them kids. I was just thinking when they were talking about this, and we're kind of all in the same flow about some of the moments in our lives that have been so uncertain. And I just remembered sometimes, even when I was a young boy, the uncertain moments in our lives and how God brought me in my life through these moments to bring me really to where I am today and living and believing and trusting him. How he's helped me through times. I even remember when I was a kindergartner. You know, you're hearing a lot about vaccines. I remember when I was in school, when I was in kindergarten, I remember the teacher, she'd bring all the kids down to the cafeteria. We're all going to get shots today. And all the kids, some of them started crying, and I was shaking like a leaf. And she said, I'm going to call the bravest one in the class to get his shot first. I'm looking around. I'm like, man, I want to know who this is. At 5 years old, I remember. She said, Marty McDonald is going to get the first shot today. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not the bravest kid here. But God, he began right then and there. He began when I didn't know what was going to happen in my life when my dad had died, when my mom had died. I didn't know where people were saying to me, what are you going to do now? Have you ever had somebody say, when you're at the hardest moment in your life, somebody just come up and say, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, I have no idea. Then I was dating this blonde girl, and her dad said, you got to come to church. So I went to church, married the blonde, became a pastor of a church, and still don't know what's going to happen in the end. But faith in God is, God, you say it, you said it, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to walk in it. I remember when I was getting my pilot's license, and one of the flights that I had to take was leave Leroy, fly to Binghamton, fly to Watertown, fly back to Leroy. One of the first solo flights. I remember I took off. It was a winter day, and I'm heading to Binghamton. And all of a sudden, there's a curtain of snow, and I thought, I'll just fly through it. And I got in it, and I couldn't see 5 feet in front of me. I knew I was going to die. And I said right there, man, I started repenting of every sin I could remember and those that I forgot of. Lord, I said, Lord, I know I'm coming home. God, I thank you for my family. You keep my wife, my children. God, have your way. Do great things. Lord, I commit my life to you. And then I thought it was over. And then I hear a call from an American airline pilot who is 40,000 feet. And I'm about at 1,500 feet. And he said, I could hear you. The tower can. I'm going to help you get to where you need to go and be safe. I was reminded of that story this morning because some of you, you're in a place in your life that you can't see in front of you. But can I tell you that if you'll call on God, he's going to speak to you and he's going to tell you how to get to the place that is safe for you. Come on, and you got to believe that today. Amen. Amen. Stop getting held up with all the details and call upon him and trust him. And then my last point, number four, God confirms his will through, listen to this, other godly people in your life. This is so phenomenal. And I've read this verse of scripture thousands of times. And I never really looked at it like this, but the Bible says in Luke 1, verse 36, Debbie, come on up. Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. I claim that. In her old age. What seems impossible to many of us, God says is possible. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. And then this is what she said. May your word to me be fulfilled. After she said, Lord, I believe your word, let it be fulfilled. The Bible says, then the angel left, but not before. This Christmas, for you and I, is God, whatever you say, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to embrace it. Whatever you say I am, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to allow and let that word be on my mouth, not the word that someone else says about me. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And you have to believe this today. Maybe for some of you, you got to pull your car over this week and cry a little bit on the side of the road. Don't worry, it'll be okay. You need to have that encounter with God at this Christmas, where it's not all about what you've heard, but it's about what He says you are. And this is what He says. He says, I want you, Mary, to go see Elizabeth, who is experiencing a miracle. And when you hear what's happening in your life, something will spark in your life that what God did for her, He can do for you. Isn't that so amazing? That's why we need other people in our lives. Others that will say to us that they not only have received a miracle, but they want to encourage and inspire you that you can receive the miracle as well. We need other voices in our lives that tell us when we're going through a very challenging and difficult moment in our lives that say, hey, come on with me. I've seen this. I've been through this. I've gotten through it, and so can't you. That's why I love sharing the Word of God and the Gospel, and I love mixing it with stories of my own life and my own failure. I take a risk at that sometimes because the religious people, they can't handle that. They think they want to look at somebody who's perfect. Can I tell you something? You're looking at somebody who is the most imperfect person in this place today. I'm like the Apostle Paul in Timothy, where he says, Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of who I am the chief. But I want to tell you something else. If you're perfect and you've never failed or gone through a hardship or a difficulty in your life, I can't learn anything from you. It's like somebody that's never ridden a bicycle trying to tell me how to ride. It's like somebody that has never ran on a skateboard tell me how to go that. I've got to talk to somebody who has been down the road, who has experienced a miracle, who has experienced something great in their life and can tell me, you can do that too. And this is part of the Christmas story. Here is Mary, the mother of Jesus, being told to ask someone who is older than her that what she heard can really happen in her life as well. The greatest Christmas gift, one of the greatest that we can receive in our lives this year, is to have a friend come alongside of us. When we're lonely, when we're dealing with loss. You know, this pandemic has stifled the work of God so much. You know, I want to say put their arm around you, but and I know if I said that, there'd be people that would say, yeah, but you can't touch anybody. Please don't criticize me for this, but if you need a hug, you come up and I'll give you one this morning. We need people in our lives that will come alongside us. I read this, I never knew this before. Of course, I'm not a marathon runner. Actually, I'm not a runner at all. There's a word, there's a description for a person called a pacer in marathon running. Pacers help you stay at the level so that you can complete the race according to the plan. They can help you stay at a rhythm in your life. Then there's what's called ultra marathon pacers. Todd Cross and Alex, they'd know all about this. Ultra marathon pacers aren't allowed to join you until you hit the 50-mile mark in your life. 50-mile run. And they meet you and they match your pace. They help you stay on the trail. They help you stay on the trail at nighttime. Yeah, I'm reading this about a pacer and I'm thinking, I am not called to be a runner. Running one, that's one thing, but then running at night where you can't even see where you're going. But a pacer helps you through life. They make sure you eat, you drink. They assist you replenishing your supplies, and they encourage you as you run. That's why we need other people in our lives. You can't be who God has called and created you to be and live in a solo lifestyle. You must have other people in your life that can come up alongside of you and say, come on, you can do this. Come on, you got this. Come on, let me come together with you. Come on, let me show you what to do. Here, walk through this. Your husband's mad, he's upset, she's mad, let me tell you something. You're going to get through that, you're going to get past that. You got a loss in your life, you lost something seriously important to you. I'm sorry, this is a hard, hurtful time, but God's got more for you on the other side of this. We need pacers. And maybe the reason that you're here today or you're watching online is because you need a pacer in your life. I'll be that here for a moment today, but then we need one another. When you make up your mind and your heart that you're going to live for Him, you can't do it on your own. The angel told Mary, go see Elizabeth. She's going to help you through this moment in your life. Believe that you have favor because the Lord is with you. When God delivers His will to you, don't be overwhelmed. It's okay. When you focus on the what, God will show you the how. And God confirms His strength through other godly people in your life. Come on, do you receive that today and believe it with all of your heart? Father, I thank You today for Your power, Your love, Your grace in our lives. I thank You, Lord, that You have blessed us and given us great favor today. I pray for my brothers and sisters at Christmas that this will be one of the greatest years. Even in the midst of what we're dealing with and what we're going through, we serve a risen Savior. We trust You. We believe in You. And Lord, we're going to embrace everything You have for us. I thank You for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, say a big amen today.
Would you stand with us?
The Lord.